Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Joining us on the line today, also with us is Rob Ray. And Dregs is joining us because we are off on Friday and Monday. Little PSA announcement for you. Dregs, good morning. How are you?
Hey,
good to have you on.
You bet. Good morning. Hope you guys are well.
We're all right. I mean, got hostile early on here, but good thing we're in our own individual studios, I guess. Hostile on a couple topics around the league, though, is what's going on. Riv tell you. I'm tired of talking here. I'll let Riv take over.
Dregs, I'm bowing out. I'm done. Petey right now is being completely unreasonable. You know, what I wanted to ask you about is we're battling over a number of topics today. The first and foremost, I just wanted to ask you about, have you heard anything more on the draft? It seems like it's been really, really quiet up to this point. Do you think that as of right now that the draft will be pushed back to after the season?
Yeah, as of right now, Rev, I do feel that way. But stay tuned because it's a moving target. I don't think that the commissioner's office has given up on the idea of potentially having the draft before the conclusion of the 1920 season. So could that be in June? Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's creeping up pretty quickly here. Could it be in July? Yeah, I mean, it could. But there's been a back and forth like nothing we've seen before, but again, unprecedented times. I mean, a month ago, I thought for sure that, Commissioner Bettman was going to be able to convince governors and general managers that it was best to get this major event out of the way. And then a week or two later, all of a sudden, it seemed unlikely. Then it was back on, and now it feels unlikely again and more likely that it will happen after the conclusion of the 1920 season. But I don't think that, Commissioner Bettman, Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley have entirely abandoned the idea. We should know probably in a week to 10 days.
Well, that spells to me, Dregs, that there's, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe this is just the way, I just want to, throw my own spin on it. But
yeah,
that just sounds to me like there's miscommunication and there's disagreement going on about the topic when they're when you can't make a decision on something like this.
Well, what it is, I'm going to mean it to be as complimentary and as supportive of each of the individual 31 clubs as I can be. They're all incredibly selfish. Every general manager is selfish. Every owner is selfish, but they need to be. I mean, that's what it's about. You're trying to put together the best team you can moving forward, and the draft is a big part of that. So, the individual goal is to make your team, your organization better long-term and on the short-term. So, getting all 31 clubs on the same page with this is next to impossible. I guess in theory, Commissioner Bettman could find a way to ram this through, but if he doesn't have support of the owners or the majority of the owners, and it seems pretty clear he doesn't, or we wouldn't be talking about it, we'd be planning for the draft. He likely would have done it already.
Just complicate, normal draft, almost like business as usual type draft stuff? It complicates the entire format of the draft, wheeling and dealing, trades, trading picks, trading players. It makes zero sense to have it early.
I hear what you're saying. And everything you've said is a big part of why the general managers have pushed back. You know, but there might be a bit of a finger wag here coming from the NHL as well, because a lot of teams, not all, but, you know, a number of teams use the draft and the off season because of the financial flexibility in the off season to tweak or, in certain cases, move out a lot of money. They want to hit the reset, be it a renovation or, in some cases, a rebuild. And you can't do that in season. You know, you can move players at the trade deadline, but, you know, once you've committed to your roster going into training camp, you're pretty much locked and loaded. So you better like your team. So, you know, the ability to trade players matters to the general managers, at least to have the option of trading players or prospects or, as you say, draft picks. So fundamentally speaking, I understand from a hockey perspective why the GMs don't like it. But, you know, the work that's done on the draft has already been done. And general managers have had their virtual draft meetings. They're interviewing young draft eligible players again via Zoom or on video in whatever mechanism that they want to use. So that side of it has been covered. I can appreciate why the league would like to get it out of the way, because we have no idea when the season is going to start. There's lots of speculation out there, and if we don't know when it's going to start, what it's going to look like, and when it's going to end, how much time are you going to have at the end of all of it to deal with yet another major event on top of everything else that has to get looked after? So I can appreciate both sides of this case.
Before we wrap, Razor, hit mute I'll wrap this topic. If you care to elaborate on what I'm going to say, then go for it. Otherwise, there's the fairness playing format, and it's fairness we want to talk about. It baffles me that it would even be considered, because we don't even know if they start the season, if they're even going to be able to finish it, because one COVID case within the NHL bubble, and I feel like the whole thing is squashed. Okay. So why would you burn that TV event when you don't even know if you're going to have an event in July and August? I don't know why they wouldn't want to maybe hang on to that as their premier event in case this entire thing falls through.
No, you're right. But I will say this. If the NHL believed that one positive case inside that self-isolation quarantine bubble meant that, you know, they were going to have to shut down again, they wouldn't even start. They wouldn't start. Okay. I mean, the medical advisors, the authorities who medically are advising the NHL and independently the Players Association concur on this. It's not a one-and-done scenario. Now, what is the number? I don't know. I mean, if you get one positive test inside, you know, that hub city bubble, wherever it happens to be, chances are a week, 10 days later, you're going to have more than one positive test, right? I mean, just given the proximity of these players. So I don't know what the shutdown number would be, but it would have to be something in the form of an outbreak. But again, this is so multi-layered and complicated because, you know, in the U.S., not every state agrees with the position of every other state from a health perspective and from a political standpoint. Well, that's the same thing in Canada. And in fact, you know, in some provinces, it's way more restrictive in Canada. So wrestling with all of this is part of the reason why the Return to Play Committee, the Players Association, and the NHL still haven't finalized their return to play scenario and protocol, and they may not get that done for another week.
Yeah, we're May 20th. What phase are we on again?
Phase one, brother. Phase two.
Oh, phase one. How many phases are there?
Well, if they stick to the phase count, there's actually four. So phase two is bringing the players back and then getting them, you know, not only in self-isolation, but when the league says it's okay, you know, then allowing them to work out and skate in small groups. That's part of phase two. Phase three is, you know, reporting to training camp or to the hub cities. And going through that process. And then phase four is ultimately game on. But all of this is being adjusted literally week by week.
So how far are we away currently right now from phase two to start bringing these players back so they can start training in facilities?
You know, Rev, it depends who you ask. I have people at the Players Association who believe best case scenario, players will be brought back, you know, either the end of this month, which isn't that far away, or in early June. But beyond that, you know, there again are so many complications because, you know, as I said, not every state is going to be at the same place. Likewise in Canada with every city, with every province. And the National Hockey League has made it clear that they can initiate phase two unless the large majority of NHL cities are in a place where they're okay with reopening and bringing these players back into that environment. And then, you know, they're going to have to self-isolate for 14 days. Then you get into that workout routine, as we talked about earlier, and then you move on from there. So just tick away the days of all of that having to happen. And, I mean, best case scenario for playing games is got to be at some point in July. At least that's the way it reads to me.
And that brings me, I'm laughing because of the disbelief. I do not think any of this is funny. I'm in disbelief. So that's where my, I just can't believe that we're, where does that leave us on our 24 team format? And what are we playing into? Canadian Thanksgiving? Yeah. Are we going to play right into Canadian Thanksgiving? And
yeah.
And then
yeah, you could
and then start when, you know, like I'm so confused. Dregs, how many Dregs, years down
the Don't let him get you down, Dregs. He's Debbie Downer today. Don't let him get you down, Dregs.
Dregs. How many years are we going to shift these players' summers and seasons for the until we can get this thing back on? And talk more about the fairness and how many teams are in disagreement with the 24 team. That's more about the insider trading for today.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, if we just start with the disruption, I mean, we can already count this summer, clearly. So you're looking at least two, because if you don't start the 2020-21 season until late November, December, well, then you're playing into late June and into July. So next summer will be disrupted yet again. And we know that the league and the PA are committed to playing 82 games. The 24-team format, it's a challenge. And this has been a beast for all three parties who are involved, the league, the PA, and the Return to Play Committee to wrestle with. Because, you know, they feel like the 24-team format gives them the best option to recognize the value of the remaining regular season games, even though they're not going to be played. Now, when you say that and you look at a team like the Montreal Canadiens, I mean, the Montreal Canadiens virtually had no chance of making the playoffs. So does it make sense? Is it fair if they match up with the Pittsburgh Penguins or a better team in the Eastern Conference and they're on the same footing? Well, a lot of people involved in the process say, no, it doesn't. But then what's the answer to that? I had a weird one thrown at me, and I'm not suggesting this is on the table. But if you had that matchup of Chicago-Edmonton, Pittsburgh-Montreal, and the play-in is a best of five to determine, you know, what the field of 16 in your traditional playoff matchups would be, could you live with, say, Montreal starting that best of five down one game to none? So therein lies the deterrent. Okay, you weren't going to qualify for the playoffs if you played 82 regular season games, so there's got to be some form of disadvantage. I doubt that they go that route, but that's a big part of the holdup as to why they haven't finalized the return to play, is trying to make sense of what's fair so that you don't have an incredible upset.
Well, I don't know. Riv, what are you laughing at? I was just going to say Canadian Thanksgiving is October 14th this year. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I understand that. But, I mean, if you know, the Montreal Canadiens, who weren't going to supposed to be in the playoffs, are playing against a powerhouse Pittsburgh Penguins, they should have no problem with beating the Montreal Canadiens. What are they worried about? You know, obviously upsets do happen. It happens every year. You know, I think the league just needs to put their foot down. I mean, I don't think they should be starting a series down 1-0. If the Pittsburgh Penguins are that good, then they're going to go and beat the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah. I don't disagree. And I doubt very much that, again, the scenario that I lobbed out there is going to become reality. But as late as yesterday, I circled back on it to say, look, isn't it just simpler for everybody to start? You know, all 24 teams start at the same level. And to your point, I mean, Pittsburgh should beat, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, given the season that the Montreal Canadiens had. But especially the players involved, this is my understanding, the players involved, and there are five of them on this return to play committee, don't see it that way. They don't like the idea of an imbalance, and there is a fairness issue here that has to be addressed. We just don't know how they're intending on doing it.
Well, in the words of Rob Ray, life isn't fair.
It's not.
Do you think the players want to play? I mean, Matt Duchene had some comments, and I don't know. Craig and Razor were making points as to why they would want to play, but I mean, you know, one of the points that Duchene made was, you know, whoever wins the cup is going to have people try to take it away from them their whole lives. I mean, you know, whether that's the case or not, but you know, the whole asterisk question of it. I mean, where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, players want to play. I don't think there's any doubt of that. That's just in the DNA of every player. You guys know that. And the chase for the Stanley Cup is real. But, you know, you do have to embrace that we're in unprecedented times here. And then you've got to balance the disruption and everything that is new to the players and their families. So, you know, I've talked to a number. You know, I did an interview yesterday with Blake Wheeler, the captain of the Winnipeg Jets. And he's like most players that I've talked to, wants to play, but needs to understand what the restrictions are. You know, what's the new NHL going to look like, and how long is it going to look like this? You know, if you're playing in self-isolation in a hub city, you know, are you there for 40 days? Are you there for 50 days? You know, I mean, as so many players have mentioned, you know, there's got to be an availability and allowance to spend time with your family, either in that hub city or, you know, the availability of returning home, although that, you know, doesn't compute to me. But the appetite to play and finish this season, especially for those who believe that they're certainly playoff contenders, if not Stanley Cup contenders, it's definitely there, but there's a pause when these players answer those questions because they want to understand and see what all of it means, what all of it looks like, and how their lives are going to be changed, you know, before they sign on the dotted line. And fellas, that's another thing we should talk about quickly here. And I don't know if this matters to you guys as former players or not, but the executive board of the Players Association makes the decision. Now, the executive board can decide, okay, well, this is such an important issue, and I'm talking about the return to play agreement between the NHL and the players. Technically, the executive board of the Players Association can say, yeah, we don't need a full membership vote. We don't need all players voting on this. You know, we've got 31 player reps, and those 31 player reps will do their homework, and they will represent the voice of the greater membership. This feels bigger than that to me. And this feels like a full membership vote is required, so every player has a vote, but that hasn't been decided yet. Yeah, that hasn't been decided yet. That could create some noise, I would think.
I'm going to spoil the ending for everybody, Dregs, at the end of our segment here with you. I'm going to spoil it all. Okay?
I commend
the efforts for everybody with the ideas and the attempts. Okay? And the belief. The belief is real. But here's the ending of the story. Final paychecks will be kept by the players. They'll worry about the financial situation with the escrow and revenues and everything down the road. They'll come up with a creative way, and it's going to be very tough to pull a player back in June to come and play hockey. I think they're going to vote against it, and I think that's going to be they'll vote to try to restart the season in maybe September as usual.
No. But isn't that why you need a full membership vote as opposed to the executive board? I mean, wouldn't you individually want to vote?
Absolutely. 100%. I want my voice to be heard. You know, I was, the little total pole guy, everybody needs to be heard and everybody needs a voice in this. Not just Connor McDavid and John Tavares and all those, the big names. I mean, everybody should have a voice. They're all equal. They're not paid equally, but they're all equal.
Yeah, agreed.
No, they're not. Agreed. No, they're not. They're not. Who are we kidding? What do you mean? We have had players come out in the media and make comments, and we're like, who cares about what that guy says? Who cares? But then Doughty says something, and we even poo-poo that because I'm not – and Drags, I'm not raising my voice at you. This is at Riv.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, would hate for that to be mistaken. But we say that because we're like, well, he's going to be out anyway, so he can say whatever he wants. I mean, it doesn't matter. If the star players are okay with coming back, the players that are the faces of your Crosby, your McDavid, your Matthews, your Marners, who else, help me, across the league, Carey Price, those are the guys that are going to matter.
Well, they'll have heavy influence for sure. But again, to be clear, the executive board, normally does a fine job. They may decide that they want a full membership vote. And to Riv's point, every player matters and every player deserves a voice and a vote in the process. They haven't got to a point yet where they're finalizing the agreement where they'll have to make that decision. But that's coming. That's coming in the next 7 to 10 days.
Who are the five current players that are representing them on the board?
Let me think about this. You've got Mark Scheifele. You've got John Tavares. You've got Ron Hainsey. Who am I missing? Who are the other two guys?
McDavid.
I mean, McDavid. It's actually a decent blend. I mean, there have been some who kind of grumbled a little bit about how those five players were identified. And I don't think anybody knows, to be fair, but a decent cross-section when you've got a guy like Ron Hainsey who's been in the NHL forever, certainly hasn't been the highest paid, but, then you compare him to, three of the stars that we just mentioned in McDavid and Tavares and Mark Scheifele. A couple of them at least are dads, in Tavares and Hainsey, and you've got two young stars in Scheifele and McDavid who probably want to play no matter what just because of where they're at in their life. So, and I think they've done a good job. In fact, I know they have because, Blake Wheeler talked about how many times as captain of the Jets, he's spoken to Mark Scheifele, since that return to play committee was formed. And it's literally a daily basis. So, these five guys are certainly putting in their time.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. I used Toronto and Edmonton as an example earlier, Dregs. Like, if those two teams were to win the Cup, obviously only one can win. You just wonder how people outside of Leaf Nation would, if they would ever give them the credit, for it not being, or even McDavid. Like, let's say that was the first and only Cup he were to win. People would always say, oh, you won it in that year. It wasn't a real Cup or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that'll be part of it. I mean, there'll definitely be an asterisk beside the line that looks back on 2019 and 2020. And, beyond that, I think players will adapt. I mean, we've had shortened seasons in the past. Players will adapt and won't be too caught up in the statistics. For me, what's going to be interesting, though, is everything about that Stanley Cup championship is going to be different. How those guys celebrate is going to be different, right? I mean, they may be able to party and do whatever they want inside the dressing room and inside their isolation area, but it feels like the days of the Stanley Cup on the ice and the families out on the ice and the agents out on the ice and the executives and the media and all that, I mean, they're gone. That's over for the foreseeable future. So there's nothing, if they resume, there's nothing about this that is going to feel like it has in the last 100 years.
We are the champions with just a bunch of silent mannequins sitting in the stands. Okay. Oh, yeah. Play Gloria. Play Gloria. Dregs, thanks for your time, man. Great as always. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, boys. You too. Thanks, have a great week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.